All right, welcome back to another episode of Girls with Fun.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing so well. How are you doing?
Good, good. Another busy week where we are once again down to the wire. Won't say how much, but doing well, living the dream, as they say.
We're here. That's what matters.
Hey, the people are getting extra fresh, extra hot content, so.
True, true, true. Where should we start? We've had a few big things going on this week.
I guess let's start with JK.
Big news. Jungkook will be at the Good Morning America. I know words. Good Morning America Summer Concert Series on July 14th, which is when Seven will be released.
AKA this Friday.
Yeah, so free tickets if you're in New York or willing to travel from New York. It'll be live from Central Park. I saw that people are already lined up.
Yep, I saw that right before we hopped on.
Yeah, so
Can I be
good luck
like,
getting a spot.
can I be bitter for 1 second? Like, how are people already lined up? Getting tickets for this is nuts. Like, me and my one friend who's a diehard, like, I mean, she loves all the members, but she's a diehard JK bias. She was like, you know, I would go to New York for them. And I was like, okay. So we signed up on this one iota, which, like, first of all, the name itself, like, if the site had one iota of organization, it would make sense. But it's not. So we, like, logged in. I was ready for the Ticketmaster thing. I'm like, close your tabs, you know, be ready 5 minutes before. Clearly, I've never tried to go on like a TV show taping before. We did get into the queue, which closed after like 2 whole minutes, but to this day, it still says like your request is pending. So they don't go in order of first come, first serve. It's like some kind of random lottery. And I don't know if this is true or not, but there's like information on Twitter floating around that like if you have a profile picture or like there was a space to write like why you want to see BTS, like, but again, you're like going fast. So my friend didn't put anything and I just wrote like been a fan since 2016, would like love to attend or something like basic, right? I didn't write a whole like sobby narrative about my life story about BTS. Like I was just trying to be quick. So now I'm like apparently also they gauge off whether you've attended any one iota events before. Because I think, like, usually one iota is doing things like Kimmel or Fallon or like studio audiences for shows where they're trying to fill the room. So they want to make sure people are going to show up, you know? And I'm like, you don't understand. This is Jungkook of BTS. Like, people are showing up, you know? So, anyway. It could be this whole thing where, like, Thursday night at 9 p.m. as I'm brushing my teeth, they're like, congrats, you got the tics. Like, how am I supposed to teleport myself to New York? So I'm really hoping, like, either way, put me out of my misery. Like, tell me I've been rejected, or, like, tell me, you know, I've been accepted, but, like, don't just, like, leave me hanging in this limbo.
So has anyone gotten confirmation? Have
Yeah,
you
that's
seen
the other
that?
thing. It's, like, rolling. So
Oh.
some people have seen, but like if someone declined, like say someone already accepted and they're like, actually, you know, something came up, I can no longer go, I have a test that day, I have a big meeting, whatever, then like more could slowly become available. But it's also JK, so I'm like, are any more becoming available? Like people are missing their final exams for this, you know what I mean? I mean, it's also July, but you take my point.
Yeah. I mean, it's in Central Park too, which is not small. So, how many people can they actually fit out there? Like, have they actually released all the tickets, or they're just being weird and waiting?
I saw someone say the comfortably it's 3,500 and like tight it's 5,500. I'm like, that's like double. So like first of all, who even knows if that number is real? Because like how tight are we talking here? I'm not trying to like get intimate with anyone, you know, like up close and personal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, but I think it's gonna be small, so I'm not really like holding on to hope, but like also, you know, there's the string that's like, what if I hear tomorrow? And I'm like refreshing my email, refreshing the page. Because they don't hold it for you either. Like, if you get the email, you need to go in, like, that second. So, I've been, like, waking up every morning since Friday in fear.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope you get it. That would be cool. And I hope they tell you before Thursday night, because that would be awful. Trying to figure that out.
There were all these wild rumors flying around. Again, this is super unconfirmed. This is just me on the internet trawling for any piece of information I can find that, like, they're prioritizing people in like the tri-state area who could easily get there. So like if you live in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, you know, somewhere drivable, you have an advantage. I saw people saying like, are they, you know, going for people under a certain age? You know, they have a certain thing in mind for the crowds. And I'm like, from a discrimination standpoint, that seems illegal, but I also know nothing about like USTB culture. So I don't know. It just seems, it's like so opaque, I guess is the key takeaway. And it's not first come, first serve. It's not like, there's really truly, as far as I can tell, no rhyme or reason.
Yeah.
It's like probably some dude at a laptop, like release five tickets, release five tickets.
The funny thing is I am off that day, but I still can't go because I'm doing something else. I also literally was just in New York. So I'm like, what is this? What is the chances that he would do this? Like,
if I'm being super, super honest, so this is some real honesty for the track, like, of course, like, the majority of me wants to go. Like, I've seen Hobie, like, at Lollapalooza. I saw August D, like, on tour. I really want to see JK. But, like, honestly, if I found out that, like, tomorrow night or even Wednesday night that I had to be in New York by 6:30 a.m. on Friday, it would completely like stress me out and upend my entire week. So like, yes, I really want to see JK live. I'm hoping for more opportunities. Like, I don't know if this is the specific opportunity for my stress levels, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, that's understandable.
But yeah, I guess we should also talk about the photos and the like behind the scenes videos that we've gotten.
Yeah, I think there were two videos, and what, 7 or 8 photos?
Yeah.
That were released. I'm trying to get back to them. Yeah, one of the videos, it wasn't menacing, but the background music seemed kind of like, I don't know.
Ominous.
Yeah, real cinematic, like some kind of action thriller. Like, I thought we were getting a summer bop. Like, what is this? So I guess they're still keeping the song on lock, without letting us know what it's gonna sound like. But yeah, he's just looking really good. That's the gist of it.
Can I say that, like, sometimes I forget, like, when I drove to Barnes & Noble and they just had the book in stock and, like, the photo cards and, like, it was the one closest to me. I didn't have to go out of my way. Like, I remember how much the times have changed, etc. Like, we'll get to that. But, like, seeing JK's tats fully on display, I'm like, chapter 2 is really something else. Like, I forget how much the times have changed because, like, even think back to, like, 2020 in the soup where they forced that guy to straight up wear, like, sweatshirts in the dead of summer and, like, I saw a tweet today that if someone was like, I was searching for tattoo clues in like the reflection of the microwave on In the Soup. Like, you don't understand how far we've come. And I was like, they're really so true. Like, I don't know, something about just like seeing JK comfortable in his skin and like embracing his hotness is just like, it's really honestly lethal. It's like, we were joking in our group chat that like, JK is like a man written by a woman, like tying into the larger like memes about like men written by women, because he looks like this tough guy bad boy that will like destroy your life, but then he's also this like sweetheart, you know, you see him smile in the videos or like, you know, the kid with like stars in his eyes with the cute little smile and like such a wholesome like, he's a cinnamon bun, as far as we can tell, right? And so I'm just like, the aesthetic and the personality do not match, and I'm here for it, honestly.
Yeah. This is the same person whose room is, like, decked out in, like, Spider-Man and, like, Marvel gear. And keeps, like, 3 humidifiers on him at all times. And stays up all night singing karaoke. Like, I don't know. He's just so soft, but the exterior is a a little hard.
We'll leave it
yeah.
there.
Yeah. I'm digging the theme. It's real, like, really clean, classic vibe going on here. I feel like it ties in with his Calvin Klein brand deal. But yeah, lots of jackets open and close your legs, bro. I don't know. I'm just like, it's just a lot. There's a lot going on right now.
Yeah. I think anyone who listens to the podcast knows that I'm like a little bit or a lot delusional, but like, yeah, I've really got to keep it under wraps here. So, yeah, all I can say is yeah.
There's talks of these, what, 7 or 8 pictures that were released and saying they like all represent the members. I don't really see it except for like maybe 1 or 2, but that's there. Thought I'd mention that.
In the video that was released earlier today, the like behind the scenes teaser, first of all, jump scare from one of the producers. I'm like, move, I'm trying to see JK. Like, I don't care about this. Like, I mean, I care about this too much, but like, I don't care what you have to say about this specifically, right? And but I thought there was like, I thought I saw there was like some lyrics that he was working on or something that were like, I can love you 7 days a week or something like that. So I thought the 7 was like each day of the week is like how he loves this girl or whatever. Or this person. Who knows? Yeah. But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Initially, I thought it was going to be about his bros, but if we're considering that, plus the inclusion of that one actress whose name I can't remember right now.
Yeah, Han So-hee.
Maybe it is a love song.
I saw someone saying certain things about, like, what happens in the music video. I don't know where they got that from. In case it's spoilers, I won't elaborate. But one of our friends in our group chat did say there's, like, an explicit version and a clean version. So I'm thinking it's not about loving his bros, but it could be. I don't know. He could be like, I really effing love you, man. Like...
That's on track. Like,
body roll. I love my bros. Summer club vibes, but like I miss the 7 of us being together because it's not a BTS song if we're not crying.
Exactly.
I saw someone be like, "Let me talk about the trials and tribulations of growing up," but then like, and like how I'm finding myself, but let me add a few body rolls, and it was like a summation of my time. And I was like, leave me alone. Leave me alone. So yeah, thoughts and prayers to all the Jungkook biases who may be listening to this podcast. You're really going through it right now, I'm sure. I mean, not to speak for you, but I'm really sure you're going through it.
Because I'm going through it, so I know you're going through it.
It was nice to know you.
Yeah. What else?
I guess we were kind of hinting at it, but, or I mentioned it when I was talking about, I don't know, something. Do you want to talk about the book release? I know we're going to do, like, an episode when we've actually, like, read everything and finished it.
Yeah. Beyond the Story, the 10-year record of BTS is available. As of, what, was it Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday. It was like, yesterday for Army Day.
Yeah. But I was thinking on the timeline on Saturday, I think.
I wonder if it's because of the time change. Like, if, maybe. Like, Australia or, I don't know, countries that were ahead of us, like, where the ninth hit sooner. I'm not being really articulate, but hopefully everyone knows what I mean here.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's what it was. I'm like, damn, can y'all wait? Jeez, I haven't even got the book yet. I ordered it on Amazon, so my book didn't come until today, which is the 10th. I'm like, dang, can I open the book first? It's like all these spoilers on the top.
I was also victimizing you by accident by like chatting about it in the group chat. But so formal apologies. But yeah, I don't know how people like, I thought I'm a fast reader. I read a lot as like my other hobby outside of BTS. And like, I'm like, how did someone finish this 500 page book in like under 12 hours? Because I'm also trying to like savor it and enjoy it, and like otherwise, you know, like I was reading it last night, and like currently at time of recording I'm on page 85, but like I was starting to like zone out or feel like I wasn't retaining as much, and I just want to like absorb everything, you know, so but I can't speak for others. Maybe they are just even faster, can focus for longer, I don't know.
Yeah, no, homegirl is thick. I was like, all right, this is a big book. Like, I want to finish this by the next episode, but I hope that we can, but we'll see.
I'm hoping to as well. It's kind of like a really busy week for me coming up, so just with like work and like personal obligations, but I'm gonna have to be like every day at 6 a.m waking up to read this. I actually love reading in the morning. I won't go on a tangent about this, but I love when it's like quiet and like no one needs you and you're just like drinking your coffee. That's when like I got my best reading done. But anyway, this isn't about that just yet, so stop myself there. Yeah, so I was telling you, we're gonna do a full episode on the book later, but I guess firstly I saw that Hollywood Reporter released an article saying that Beyond the Story had gone number one on the Amazon bestsellers chart. I think it's going number one on a number of charts, so I wouldn't be surprised if, like, I don't think they announced till next week, kind of like the Billboard model, but personally speaking, I would not be surprised if we see it on the New York Times like bestseller for hardcover nonfiction next week. But there's my prediction of like the clock that's right twice a day. We'll see how that works. But also, like, right before I was getting ready to go to Zumba, so I only heard, like, 15 minutes of this interview. Indigo was interviewing Anton Her, who's, like, the English language, one of three English language translators for Beyond the Story. And so for anyone that doesn't know, Indigo is a Canadian bookstore. It's kind of like, it's a chain. It's like Barnes and Noble on steroids. I went to one when I went to the pop-up in Toronto, but they also have like Home Goods and like other items in there. It's just like really cute aesthetic store. They funnily enough also have a really great Instagram TikTok presence, I should say, because I talked about them when the Indigo album came out, but at the time I didn't realize what they were. And I was like, yeah, there's this company called Indigo on TikTok, ha ha ha. And then when I went to Canada, I was like, you dummy, this is a bookstore. But they were joking about RM releasing Indigo and all their social medias popping off, and they made a TikTok about it. So anyway, full circle moment there. But today they were interviewing Anton Her, and he actually said that he did not even know. Like, there were so many NDAs surrounding the book that when he signed on to do it, he didn't even know that it was for BTS. I guess Flatiron, the English language publisher, reached out to him and they were like, we have a celebrity book that we'd like you to translate. And he thought it was Son Heung-min, a soccer player or a football player for non-Americans in the UK. And I guess he wrote a book that the author had read and loved. And so he thought he was getting into like a sports type of memoir. And then he signed the NDAs or whatever, and they were like, so it's also 500 pages and we need it in a month. And he said like he had to go out and find two people that he, like, two colleagues he could really trust that he knew had the bandwidth to take it on. Because he said that normally he does not take on any project under 4 months. So imagine your normal work time shortened down to 1 month, and it's 500 pages. And the last thing I caught before I had to sign off on this Instagram Live was that he was still translating it as of March. So it's currently July. So, like, that's crazy turnaround time. I don't know much about publishing, but that's pretty tight. But he said they were still waiting on the final chapter to be written in March. Like, they had everything else done and translated. And, like, the Korean versions were still being written of the last chapter. And he was like, honestly, can I just have a rough draft and I'll, like, make whatever changes you need me to make later, like, to that section that's been changed. But, like, we need to, like, get moving on this. And, like, he's a really famous translator. Like, he's also translated Cursed Bunny by Bora Chung. I'd like to eat, I want to eat, I want to die, but I want to eat tteokbokki, that one that RM mm-hmm. recommended.
Yeah.
He was the translator for that, which made me wonder if RM knew at that time already. But it sounds like no. He also translated, he's translated a ton of stuff. What was the other thing he was longlisted for? Oh, Love in the Big City. Anyway, he's done tons of titles. So he was saying that he was also, like, traveling to London for, like, a book fair, and he had business trips to New York, and he's, like, trying to edit in, like, every spare moment. And I was like, why, unless they were really trying to hit this July 9th deadline, like, why was Hybe pushing for this 1 month turnaround? Or was it, like, on the Flatiron side where they didn't get their stuff together?
Well, they've had 10 years to write this book.
Well, exactly. I'm like, that's kind of, like, what was the reason? Like, what?
It sounds like somebody had the idea of, like, we should have a book. And they're like, yeah, we should. And they had the thought, like, 6 months ago. So they started writing it, like, 6 months ago, and they're still, like, writing it up until, like, the absolute last minute.
No, seriously. Like, when you have an essay due, and it's 11:59 p.m., and you're like, do-do-do-do-do.
Like, yeah.
Also, like, I imagine, normally with, like, translated works, they're complete, and they're published in whatever country or language that they were originally published in. And then a few years later, they bring it to, like, the international audience, right? So, like, I don't know for sure, but I'm confident that it's rare for a translator to be, like, live translating a book that's still being written simultaneously. Like, mm-hmm. that sounds like big group project energy. Like,
yeah,
I need you to get your part done so I can do my part. And, like, he said that one of the people he asked, I think her first name was Claire, like, literally got sick after she finished editing, like, her section. Mm. And he felt bad, like, he had, like, messed up her health or something. But he was, like, vacationing, like, he was at some house, he was at a traditional, like, hanok, you know, one of the traditional Korean houses. And he was, like, in the yard because he was, like, this is the only place the Wi-Fi works. And, like, birds were chirping and stuff. And I'm, like, did dude, like, publish this and immediately go on vacation? Because, like, he earned it, you know? Like, you turn yeah. in your last paper and you go.
A month is insane. I was telling you, I hope that they were not just fairly compensated, but, like, heavily compensated for being able to make this thing happen at the last minute.
Yeah. I'm curious, too. I don't know if you saw this. I just saw it today on the Korean Times that we have another Disney Plus BTS documentary coming out in the later part yes. of 2023, which I think we already knew about, but, like, definitely confirmed earlier today. And it sounded like the way it was framed was, like, a recap of, like, BTS's 10 years. So I wonder if it will, like, draw on the book or will it be separate or, like, a companion? Like, I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, Beyond the Stars, I think that's... We talked about this before, but... Yeah, we're finally getting that documentary. I did not even read one page of the book yet, but I did open it up. And the pictures look like they are from, like, On era. So they took these photos a while ago.
I don't know how long ago they actually started writing the book, but these photos are pretty old.
One thing I like about the book so far is the use of QR codes. I mean, so far, I'm kind of on the fence about it a little bit because, like, when I'm trying to read, it's, like, taking me out of the story a little bit. But I also like that they have easy reference to what they're discussing. So it's, like, you don't have to scan the QR code if you don't want to. But, like, especially, like, at least in the first chapter, you know, when they're talking about, like, really old, like, pre-debut content from their blog and stuff, it's nice to just, like, scan it and, like, it takes you right to it so you can see that material that they're talking about. It's super interactive, which I think was a good design choice.
Yeah. I did notice a few QR codes, but I didn't notice it was all throughout the book, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Instead of, like, they also have footnotes, like, traditional, like, you know, superscript one, and then, like, commentary at the bottom of the page. But for the QR codes, they're using, like, a series of dots. I don't know, like, what my brain is doing, because I'm not colorblind, but I keep missing the little blue dots until it's like three blue dots, but like I'm missing the one or the two blue dots. I'm just like ink splatter and my brain like keeps going. I have no idea, but I mean it's fine. I wonder though, like long term, like if people are reading this in the future as like a primary source or something, like will these QR codes work? I mean, probably prior to the implosion of Twitter, I wouldn't have thought about it. But I'm like, if YouTube ever folds, none of the, or like they close their blog down, like none of these links are going to work.
Yeah.
They do describe it though. So like maybe for the future, you don't really need the QR codes, but they do help. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to actually picking it up. There's been a lot of chatter on the internet about some of the content in there, and we definitely can get into it when we actually do our little report on it. I don't want to comment until I've actually read it, but it's messy, and honestly, I'm kind of sick of other fandoms trying to like gaslight us about the early BTS years like it didn't happen. But yeah, we'll get into that later.
Yeah. There is so much I want to talk about. That's probably going to be like a 2-hour episode. There was even stuff like in the beginning that I wasn't aware of. I mean, I feel like a lot of it I knew and was like directionally correct. But like maybe the way ARMY filled the gaps was like not the way it actually played out. You know what I mean? So I won't give any spoilers for now, but I truly cannot wait for that episode.
Let's see. I also think it could be completely true that ARMY's experience and BTS experience could be different, right? The things we see online could be different from what they see online. And how much we see online versus what they see online could be totally different, right?
I also, like, wasn't really going to go into this now. I'll probably go into it on our actual book episode. But I think, like, we need to remember, like, yes, this is a very detailed account of BTS from BTS, but it's still, like, an official HYBE-sanctioned project, right?
Right.
So while it may be, and I think maybe we talked about this briefly before, I think it's, like, generally true and generally correct, but there are certain things they're not going to touch on, like okay, at the highest level, and again this is not really spoilers, it's on like page one and I'm not going to talk about it in depth, but like they talk about Glam, that girl group that HYBE had before, and they just kind of like, at least as far as I've read, they just kind of like brush over what happened to them. Or they'll be like, due to a lack of success. And I'm like, well, it's a little more than that, but okay. You know, so like things like that, I think really summarize kind of like, you can take the source and I think it's a great source of information and I'm really enjoying it. But HYBE is not going to be like, yes, some people were incarcerated for blackmail. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You can only say so much.
But also it is 500 pages, so they were probably like, you know what, that's a different 500-page tome.
Yeah. And I don't think the book is meant to be, like, one of those messy, like, call-out books either. Right?
I don't know. I was getting somewhere last night, and I was like, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I mean, they're going to say some things, but they're not necessarily going to be like, XYZ group told us that we weren't shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're not going to...
All we'll say right now is page 85, and hit me up when you get to page 85.
I guess. I just see a lot of, like, I'll say it. XOLs are on some bullshit. Making it seem like all that junk that happened and from, like, 2013 until, like, 2015. I mean, literally until this day, actually. Making it seem like none of that junk happened. VIPs too, like, just being messy, and they were, like, really not just messy, like, they were nasty to BTS, and they were nasty to armies. Yeah, and they're just, like, saying, like, oh, like, BTS were being, like, really careless by bringing all of these things up and making all these accusations without actually mentioning what group did XYZ to them, leaving their fans to, like, go after whatever group they feel like it, which is silly, but we can get into that later. I don't have time tonight.
I really remember my friend who was a fan of EXO, and, like, we're still friends, but, like, we were in our MBA programs together, and she was, like, this was when I was, like, an extreme baby ARMY, like, 2016, 2017, and she would just, like, straight up heckle me, like, unsolicited. I'm like, I don't have anything to say about your faves. Like, just, like, leave me alone, you know? But there's always something, so I'm not even really surprised.
It's just annoying. Like, you get trash talk when BTS were nothing in your eyes, and they hadn't achieved anything yet. And then they have success, and... now you're still trash talking them, like, they can't win and we can't win, so it's just like, what's the point arguing with these dumb people? Like,
get a hobby that doesn't
also matter. Like, yeah, you're chronically online. Why are you trying to bully me at your big age about liking a K-pop group? Like, we're grown.
That's so funny. Like, for us to call another fandom chronically online is a little bit like pot me kettle, but, like, also
I mean, we're all chronically online, but you're never gonna catch me, like, going up to somebody in real life and being like, ha, you like XYZ group, that's embarrassing, or, like, your group is trash. Like, what do I gain from that? And what is your group that you stand gain from that? Absolutely nothing. Like, get a job. I guess your job is being dumb offline, but
whatever. Make a podcast about your faves or something. Like, something else. Please. Yeah.
Just so silly.
Anyway. Maltese are welcome here, as we always say. But just, like, don't start dumb crap on the internet, like, categorically. Not girls with fun if there isn't some kind of tech pause that we need to have.
All right. Welcome back.
Yeah. I think you wanted to talk about the Weverse August D tour report. I skimmed it, but
yes.
I defer to you. Yes.
There was a Weverse article, August D Day tour report, a Liberation Journal of Suga, August D, and Minyoungi. I won't go too much into detail, but it was cool that it was detailing basically the tour up until this point. We know there's only the encore shows left in August, which I am looking forward to. But yeah, I just talked about, you know, basically crunching through all of these tour dates, adding in additional dates and flying back and forth, which we all know he was doing while sick. So I'm trying to figure out how he made all of this happen. So... shouts out to him for being a trooper and pulling through all of that.
Right.
There was a lot of talk about, like, the actual set design itself, and it made a lot of things clear to me
that I didn't fully understand, even though I've seen the concert, like, I don't know, two or three times.
Like, what was your biggest takeaway?
At this point. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, well, first of all, I didn't catch that there was, like, what, these sections, like, Loss, Kill Them All, and They're Reborn. I'm like, ew. It makes sense. And that, basically, it was a story of, like, death and rebirth. Him killing off of his personas in order to be reborn into the Shuga that he is now. Which, okay, I kind of got the whole, like, death thing, but I didn't really make the rebirth connection in some sense. So it made sense how he was, like, carried out and, well, carried on stage and then carried off stage and then comes back. That was supposed to be the whole rebirth part after Amygdala. As well as, I think we've talked before about, like, the stage being, like, pulled apart. Mm-hmm. And the set director was basically saying that it was supposed to also complement this kind of birth rebirth thing and taking away any kind of, like, parts that were unnecessary, just so you could, like, showcase the real him. I'm like, okay, that makes so much more sense, by having it just being that one little part that he was on for the last, and it just made it, like, 10 times more impactful in my mind, thinking back onto it. So now I'm excited to watch the concert again. I'm assuming we're going to get the chance to watch the encore, but now I'm excited to watch the concert again in a new light. Because, yeah, the VCRs, I said they weren't making any sense to me. So I didn't understand that it was, like, I don't know, I guess he was, like, killing off his personas or whatever. In that. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching the concert again. And he said this, like, really cute part, basically saying that, like, he's the happiest that he's ever been right now. Like, of course, he wants to be with the other 7 members again, but he's just been, like, excited to be able to do this tour and, like, tell his story since August D. Yeah, and he said he was, like, the most content that he's ever... Happy and, like, the most content. Let me see if I can find it. Where is it? He said, I feel more content and carefree than ever before. I'm just so happy to be able to relax and have fun during the show as if I'm going to hang out and have fun with the audience. And I was like, tears. But yeah.
Yeah. It is true that he seems really like he's having fun and relaxed, right? Just the way he's kind of like toying with us at some of these shows. Like, you know, messing with the audience or whatever. I think if it was anyone other than Weverse and, like, Yoongi himself, the whole, like, taking and adding from the stage symbolizes blah, 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 I'd be like, that's a stretch, but okay. But since they're saying it, I guess I just need to pay that level of detail or that level of attention to the show.
Yeah, I'll take the set director's word for it.
Exactly.
What was I going to say? Yeah, honestly, if I was on tour and I was, like, sick while touring, I would just be, like, really annoying. like, I really don't know how he's doing it. Like, he's really out there killing it. And I don't really feel like there was a moment where... I mean, obviously there was moments like, okay, he's sick. Yeah, like, you hear him coughing. But he wasn't out there just, like, half-assing it, is basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that he's happy, even though there's things that could have, like, you know, tried to set him back or be an obstacle for him. He was able to overcome them, so I enjoy that for him.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, I mean, the fact that he was going on stage and killing it, even, like, I think it was the Japan theater stream where he was, like, coughing every few seconds, like... I think someone who loved it less might just be like, honestly, I'm postponing this show, even just like a day or two, you know, because he had a couple shows in Japan, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like, I mean, I guess it would have sucked for people that day, but like, I think anyone would have understood like your health comes first, but he was like, no, performing for ARMY comes first.
Yeah. He made this cute comment of like, maybe if I close my eyes and open them, the seven of us will be on tour together. And I just need somebody to make that like TikTok edit. I know you can do it. So in like 2025, there's your TikTok idea.
Yoongi himself has been pretty active, like making reels on his personal Insta. So at Minyoongi, prepare yourself now.
Yeah. I haven't watched all of the D-Day tour YouTube content as well, but it looks like he's like really enjoying himself while doing this show, so that's also very cute.
I have like a very fine line. I started watching the Chicago one and he was like eating a burger at like Gordon Ramsay's restaurant or whatever, and I was just like, he was going around talking about all the sights he couldn't see, blah blah blah, and I was just fully in my feels. So like, it's not that I don't love them. It's just, obviously, I think I love them too much where, like, I have to be in a certain mood. Otherwise, I'm like, why is Yoongi in Chicago? Like, why is it making me emotional? Like, he's eating a hamburger. You are fine. But emotionally, I'm like, when are they coming back?
So. I think, was that the first one? Or, I don't know. But I think it was. Was that that one, or was there a New York one? I can't remember. But anyway, he was eating something, and I was also eating at the same time, and I was like, look at us. Not that we were on a date, it just, I'm being delusional.
Who would have thought? Not me. Yeah. Look at us. Who would have thought? Yeah. Delusional again. I'm excited for the finale shows. And clearly, like, August will be here before we know it. So
seriously.
I was like, that's so far off. Literally, like, 2 weeks ago or whenever we were talking about it. And now I'm like, well, it's right around the corner. So. Yeah, I think the other thing we wanted to talk about on this episode was that Namjoon appeared on Cold's, like, YouTube show. I think it's called Blue Room. And can I just say, it was like, blah, blah, blah. Now it's my turn to stumble over words. It was so aesthetically pleasing. Like, I couldn't figure out if their pants and shoes and stuff were, like, actually blue or if it was, like, a filter or like lighting effects, but like just something about two friends like sitting in a room speaking quietly. It wasn't super loud. There weren't like a ton of sound effects. They started off the interview like talking about minimalism, and I was like, okay, this is like peaceful. I can handle this. This is my speed right now.
Yeah, those chairs look cool, but they also look wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah, true. True enough.
I'm like, oh my god, two pretty best friends. Like,
I've never seen two pretty best friends. Yeah.
Oh god.
I know. I don't think I realized that Cold was like that pretty. Like, I don't know. I never looked at him really, but I was like looking at his little ear cuff and like, I don't know, not a cuff, but he had that like ring. I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah.
Good looking guy.
It was cute.
Also, like, even what they were talking about was just, like, so wholesome. They were like, they're the friends late night at the party that are like, why do we talk about love? Like, why are humans innately set up to love? It was just, like, really philosophical.
It was very, yeah, very chill, but also very, like, this is a conversation you have while passing a blunt or something.
Dream blunt rotation. for anyone wondering, weed is legal in DC, so do not come for us. And also, this is hypothetical, honestly.
Exactly. Yeah, cool interview. I'm obsessed with that song, honestly. The visuals for that were great, too. Like, I don't know if you watched that video. But they did like what do you call it, a music video? I don't know. But the visuals for that were really cool. And that part where Namjoon's like,
come to the low side, I'd like ascend. I'm like, yeah. I don't know what it is, but I'm like, yes, whenever that part comes on.
That is also, like, the song itself is, like, late night blunt rotation soundtrack.
Exactly. Because
every time that comes on, I just, like, shiver a little bit. I don't know.
I had some thoughts during that conversation. I was like, what have you been through?
I know. I was once again like, who hurt you? Who hurt you? He'll never say, for their own safety.
Exactly.
Can I ask you, so like I've noticed, not all the time, but sometimes Namjoon has almost like, I don't know if it's the makeup they're putting on him for like camera, or if it's, like, an intentional style choice, or it's just Namjoon. But, like, sometimes he almost has, like, a red rim around his eyes. Have you noticed that?
No.
I was wondering, I noticed it in this video. I think they did it for, like, Love Yourself Tear as well. But, I mean, I think in that photo shoot he was supposed to be crying. So, like, it makes sense. But I just wondered if that was, like, a makeup trend, since you're my friend who's up on, like, fashion and trends. Is it, like, intentional? Is it just, like, who he is and it looks good? Like, not, like, Namjoon, my tragic little emo, like, boy, but it's just, like, I was just curious.
I don't know. I didn't notice. I had to go back and look. I haven't noticed that trend.
That's weird. I know we're not generally editing, but
I don't know. I mean, it could be. It was, like, makeup around, like, the lash line, like, or was he just tired? Like, his eyes, or, like, his actual, like...
That's what I'm asking you.
Oh, okay. I'll go back and look.
Because Cold was also, like, what have you been up to lately? And he's, like, just working. I'm, like, is this the aesthetic? Because I know that, like, the TikTok teens were doing, like, dark circles as a trend, and that's not what this is. Like... Whatever it is, it looks good, but I'm like, is he sleep deprived or is this like a pinkish red eyeliner?
Could be both.
I mean, whatever it is, it's working, so I leave it there, but I was curious about that.
Speaking of, he did mention that, like, you know, he's working on music and he was like, oh, I don't think it's gonna come out anytime soon. And then every time I get on the internet and this man makes a post, he has less and less hair. I'm like, all right. Do you want to say something? Like, do you want to share? Like, what? I don't know. I just feel like we're about to get a big hit announcement.
Well, and to back you up in this assertion, his last Instagram post, the caption was literally, expect the unexpected. And I was immediately like, this man is going to leave tomorrow. We're going to get an announcement out of the blue that he's like, peace. You know, like. So, I have no idea.
I mean, he's free to do whatever he wants to do, but I'm like, fam, you're almost bald. Like, we're getting there. Just let me
actually,
know.
Actually, though, that's a good point, because in the Cold Blue Room video, his hair was not that short. So, that must have been recorded a while ago.
And then, like, a few weeks ago, when he took pics, it was shorter, but it wasn't that short. And I just saw a picture yesterday or today, and it was like... almost bald on the sides, like very low cut, and just like a little bit of the hair on top, and I'm like, okay, is it just hot outside? Like, yes it is, but what's the deal, my guy?
Definitely not overly emotional about this.
Yeah, you're cutting it close.
Yeah, in like literal and metaphorical. No, yeah, the Cold video must have been pre-recorded because his hair was kind of long. In fact, it kept, like, poking him in the eye. Maybe that's why his hair was wet. So I was like, is anyone going to move this bang that's just, like, poking him? And then it, like, cut away and came back and it had been, like, swept off to the side. And I was like, thank God, because I'm, like, getting distracted. Yeah. Wondering how he's tolerating this.
I honestly think, like, I'm like, does he just grow his hair just to please us at this point? I feel like he cuts it really low or just keeps it short pretty often.
I kind of, this could be fake. This is like my DeLulu scenario in my head. Number one of 17,000 or more. But like, I feel like he's the guy that like cuts his hair and it immediately grows back. Like he's the guy where you see him like 3 days later and it's grown out. Like,
yeah, exactly. Chia pet hair. Him and JK, honestly.
Yeah.
Who also is cutting his hair. He made mention of like, yeah, I want to keep cutting my hair to the point where like you'll suddenly be like, oh my god, you have no hair anymore. Before he enlists. I'm like, what is the deal?
They think I care other than stressing about enlistment. Like, I like any haircut you could do, for real. With some exceptions, but like mostly.
Hope he also cut his hair short before, like pretty short before enlisting. I'm like, was that just to like get used to it? Like, what was the point? Like, you're gonna have to shave it off anyway.
Ease yourself in.
Yeah.
His hair was long for a while too. Like, he was pretty shaggy for Hobie Palooza. And then it was shorter for On the Street. Honestly, going by like K-pop boys' hair is just like not the move because it will change with no rhyme or reason. So
yeah,
like as a general life rule.
Well, anyway, I don't think we're getting that album anytime soon, unless he just like I don't think we're getting that like album that Najungi's talking about anytime soon.
He did specifically say he's also like working with other artists though, and like he has another song with Cold coming out. And the fact that he shouted that one out by name, I'm like, maybe these, like, one-off singles are coming out.
Yeah. That's also what I was thinking. Will these, like, singles while he's in the military? I don't know.
Can I just say, like, I know we kind of touched on it, but I want to specifically call it out. When they were talking about, like, why do we have this capacity for love, blah, 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 Namjoon was like, you don't ask, like a flower just exists, like humans just exist with love. You don't try to separate like the flower and the grass. It just like is what it is. Like humans in love are like that. And I was like, that's so beautiful. I'm so touched. Like, I mean, he said, obviously, he said something along the lines of, like, obviously there's places where people, like, sow hatred and bitterness, and I think he blatantly said he finds that gross, but he's like, overall, people have such a capacity for love. So it's funny, because I know we've been on here talking about Yugi, like, focusing on the negative, and Hobie being like, all people are good, you know, and, like, Jun is here somewhere in the middle, like,
yeah.
Mellowing them both out, but also being, like, beautifully poetic, like, while he's doing it.
So maybe we should wrap this up before my computer freaks out.
All right. You know what?
Woo!
All right. Well, that'll do it for today's supposedly uncut episode of Girls With Fun, but we're going to have to edit this at least a little.
Yeah, exactly.
But we covered a lot of good content, and I feel like it was a good discussion. So all's well that ends well.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Bye.